Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Questions from the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be taking your calls and answering your questions for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and ask your question. You can even bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. You can ask questions about fuel mileage, tires, engine, EGR, aerodynamics, truck specking, maintenance, taxes, financial planning, getting started as an owner-operator, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember to talk to Kevin. Press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your call. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to the Audio Road. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. We'll be here for the next hour taking your calls and answering your questions. I'm going to start off the show tonight with an update on what's going on with freight, rates and availability, demand, all that good stuff. If you want to jump in, tonight is open lines. We can talk about anything you want to talk about. Press 1 on your phone, Lisa, will screen your calls, and we'll get to those real soon. If you are listening online and you want to join us, the number to call, 347-884-8327. There's still some open lines there that will allow you to jump in and participate, ask a question, bring up a topic, give us your opinion, whatever it might be. We have got so much stuff going on. I want to get to rates. I also want to thank everybody for stopping by the booth at Matt's. We had a fantastic show at Louisville this year. Too short. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, and it was a long week for us. We got in early. We got set up. We met with a lot of vendors. We met a lot of vendors that we've been working with, some new people over the past year or so. This was the first chance we got to meet them. We've got a lot of great ideas and projects in the works, and there just isn't enough time at that show. I couldn't have talked to one more person between being in the booth and trying to talk to as many people as I could there and going out and meeting some people in the show, but we had a great time. I want to thank everybody. We will try to do a roundup of some of the ideas and projects we're working on maybe this Friday night on Trends and Technology. We'll do some of that stuff because we've got some pretty exciting things in the works on the concept truck idea and just some new products and truck stuff we're testing out, so I'll give you an update on that. Let's get to rates. I don't even know. Well, I do know where to start. I just don't know what to say. If you followed along on the Market Demand Index, I've been covering this for over a year now, and for a long time, we were down in that 2 range. If we go back just a year from today, we were at 2.14 on the Market Demand Index. Now, the higher this number goes, the better it is for us, the people who own trucks. This is relative truck demand. So it's a combination of how many trucks are available against how many loads are available. And the higher the number goes, the better that is. We bounced along in the 2s and 3s for a long time. I got kind of excited when we hit 4. And the first time we hit 4 was back in November, December. I think it was a seasonal thing because we actually dropped back down into the 3s in January, bounced around 4 for a while, and in the last, since the end of February or so, we started a climb. And every week I've been thinking that, all right, that's the last week we're going to see a climb like that. We're either going to drop back off or we're going to level off. Last week, we were up 11%. I thought that was huge. Last week, we went from 7.69 to 8.55. This week, we're up 17.6% to 10.05. Now, 7 is kind of the magic number. After we go above 7, we should start to see rates climb. Now, we still haven't seen that. There's not any real indication of that in this report. But to see the index up like this means that there's a lot more freight to move. And actually, it's a trend of more freight and less trucks. We're still seeing trucks leaving the market. So load availability, if we do that on its own, load availability was up about 16%. Truck availability was actually down 4%. So we're seeing two things. We're seeing freight come into the market. We're seeing trucks leave the market. What we aren't seeing yet is any real increase in rates. Let's see what they've done for the week. They're actually down 1%. Overall rates to $1.70. Flatbed rates are down 1% to $1.53. Reefer rates up 1% to $1.73. Specialized down 3% to $2.03. Van rates the same at $1.50. So still not a lot going on with rates, but it helps just to have a lot more freight available to keep the wheels moving. And if this continues to go on, we have to see rates go up. I think it's just going to take a little while. If we look at the spot market load index, and we compare it year over year. So if we go back, we compare February of 2010 to February of 2009, loads are up 168%. Trucks are down 32%. So the same trend that we're seeing right now week over week and month over month, we're also seeing it year over year in really big numbers. So big changes from February of last year to February of this year. Now, if we look at the load-to-truck ratios week over week, we break it down by segment. Dry van is only up 1%. Flatbed is up 18%. So that's a big part of where the load index is. When we break it down by segment, that's a big part of why it's up. So you may not have seen any big jumps this week in dry van or reefer. Reefer is up 1.3%, but certainly on the flatbed side we did. Now, since rates have seemed kind of flat, I thought I'd go back and look at rates this time last year, since we've seen such big increases in the load-to-truck ratios. The rates are still pretty flat. I was surprised. If we look at dry van February of last year, February of this year, we're only up about 3%. Rates last year were $1.62 this time. Now they're $1.66. This is from a different load board, so maybe a little different than the numbers I reported just a minute ago, but it's the trend I'm looking for. Reefer rates up from last year, February of last year to February of this year, up 3%, $1.72 to $1.77. So pretty flat. And flatbed has done the best. Rates are up 5% from this time last year, $1.78 to $1.87 on this load board. So we're seeing a lot of upward trends in freight. The rates just aren't following yet. So jump on board. Tell me what you're seeing on the street. I've got a lot more stuff I could get to, but I'm going to start taking some calls. So if you want to jump in, there's still some open lines. If you're listening online and you want to join us on the phone, 347-884-8327. If you're on the call and you want to jump in and join us, press 1 on your phone, Lisa will get to you, and I'll get to you as well. So let's do that right now. Let's get to some phone calls. Let's go to Mississippi to start off the show. Ed, welcome to the program.
Hey, Ed, what's going on tonight?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good. I'm glad you're back. I didn't get to the show. I was stuck out in California, and I tell you, I was having withdrawal symptoms, not being able to listen to you on radio a little bit there.
Well, you know, I forgot on the podcast. I forgot we got so busy last week. I forgot to send out an email letting everybody know that we weren't going to be doing. So it's good to be back. You know, it was a busy week, but it's good to be back on the radio.
Well, I was just going to let you fill you in on some things. I was listening to the radio last night, Monday night. T. Boone Pickens was on there, and he was, I guess him and John Kerry are teaming up to try to get his little, energy plan in motion.
Is that right?
Yeah, and he's already got his bills on there. He's got a House Bill 1835 is what he's introduced, and he said there's already 120 supporters in the House.
I have no problem with natural gas. I have no problem with any form of alternative energy. But you know what? It's got to stand on its own. I don't know how long it's going to take us to figure out that every time the government subsidizes something, it gets screwed up.
Well, the funniest thing is when he goes on there, you know, of course, nobody asked him about trucks. They're all just assuming that he's doing to do the cars and the homes and stuff like that. But he'll put in that truck thing right away, and I think he knows that it's easier to implement it in the trucks because, you know, there's not really a big voice in the trucking industry as much as there is anywhere else.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, if he thinks this is the way to go and it's good for the environment and it's good for our country and it's good for all of those things, fine. Go out and push it on your own. But, you know, the whole argument, you know, and I know he uses this argument and a lot of other people have, that we get all of our oil from people who are trying to kill us and people who hate our way of life, and that meaning the Middle East. That's just not true. We import oil from 163 countries, and
right,
we don't
right.
even get the bulk of our oil from the Middle East. We get more oil from Canada and Mexico. So it's not like we're dependent on people who are trying to kill us. We're not. There are a lot of options. The other thing is, if they ever turned off the oil in the Middle East, sure, it would affect us, but we could get oil from other places. We could move to other sources because they would then be cheaper. We could drill our own damn oil because it would be cheaper then. So I disagree with the whole plan, and you know, it's one of those things when you first see it, you think, oh, well, that sounds great. Like, what's the problem with that? Well, the problem is it's government subsidizing special interest again, and it's just not right.
Well, the biggest thing, you'd be a fool not to suspect that T. Boone is doing this just deep in his own pockets.
Yeah, and I you know, when you watch his commercials or you go on his website, and I've studied this, he gives the whole spiel about he's 99 years old or however old he is. I don't remember the number. And he's got more money than he knows what to do with, so this isn't about money. But it is. It's always about money.
It's always about money.
Yeah, if it wasn't about money, then go ahead and spend all that money that you say you have too much of to make this happen. Don't ask for the government help then.
Yep. Well, I wanted to let y'all know that way y'all get a hold of y'all's congressman out there and let him know that this is, and he's hoping to have it signed into law by this time next year. So,
well, I appreciate the update on that. Thanks, and I will. I'll do a little more digging. I'll tell you, I have been so out of the loop when it comes to news. So, if there's anything big that's happened in the last week, I'm still not caught up. The truck show is such a— well, every year it seems to be a bigger event. This year it was big, and we drove up, we worked. Lisa did almost all the driving this year. I worked on the way up in the car as much as I could, and we spent most of our time either at the show getting ready for the show, or we had people over the condo in Louisville, and we worked, you know, from the time we woke up in the morning till the time we went to bed at night. So I'm kind of out of the loop. I'll get back into it here soon. Let's see. Let's go to— I'm going to head off to Alabama this time. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hey, I'm one of those flatbeds. Actually, I'm pulling a step deck. And the spot rate, I guess, calling are good. You know, the normal stuff is still the same, but that stuff that's got to move is real good on the board. But the big reason I called is I've got a already, and I've got one more note on it, and I'm thinking about buying a second screen front. Is that a wise idea?
What would you be buying it for, and what would you be doing with it?
Well, I would be the driver, but I guess it's my own paranoia. You know, I've got 909,000 miles on this thing. I don't have any problems with it. Runs good. Right now, as a matter of fact, I'm getting 7.4 miles to the gallon, and that's only because I'm driving fast, because I'm on my way home. And, you know, I just have the paranoia of if something goes down, I don't want to spend that time off the road.
Well, so you're just thinking about buying a truck just to have a second truck sitting there?
Yeah. I mean, I figure at 100,000 miles, I'll have to actually crack the case on the engine, which I haven't had to do anything to the motor since I've had it. I mean, it's run excellent, running a bypass, fuel mileage checks, and I stay above 7. So it's just the idea of my own paranoia, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't spend that kind of money. You know, when you think about it, let's take sometimes the way to approach a situation like this is looking at the worst case scenario. And worst case, there isn't anything. I'm going to say this: there are always some exceptions. There isn't anything on a truck that can't be fixed in a week. You know,
what?
Even if we can do an auto frame in a week, if we have to pull the engine out completely, rebuild it, put it back in, we can get it done in a week. And when you look at, and that's worst case scenario, when you look at what that would cost you to be down a week, to spend the money on the truck and that kind of thing, you know, that's still a lot less than it is to buy a new truck, insure a new truck, maintain a new truck, and have a truck sitting there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the other option, if it's all the downtime you're worried about, or if you're worried about servicing a customer, what I would do is go out ahead of time and try to set up a rental agreement with, you know, Penske or somebody like that. So if your truck does go down, you jump into a rental truck for a week.
Yeah, that seems like an alternative. But,
With what you're telling me about your truck, the fuel mileage, how good it's been on maintenance, that's the one you want to hold on to.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so now I would not go out and buy a truck in this situation.
Yeah. You know, I was just, with the idea of the price on used trucks being what they are and, you know, the opportunity being there, you know, I'm not going to put somebody on a truck, never will. It's just always having that second in command, that second screen when the first string quarterback goes down, I guess.
How long have you owned a truck?
I've had this one for just that 3 years. I've had two before. Those were basically lease trucks. And, either one of any of them, I've never had a problem.
That's where I was going to go with this. In all the time of owning trucks, and I've been owning trucks for 20-some years, and I've just, you know, I've certainly had breakdowns, and I've had some things that, and I have to service my customer every day. I mean, I really can't let my drivers not work and the freight, you know, I don't want to put it up on the extra board. I cover my runs. So I rent trucks, but, you know, worst case scenario, I very seldom ever see something that keeps me down a week. And,
yeah.
You know, in all the times you've owned trucks, you haven't seen that either. So I would say no. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing maintenance. And when it comes time to do the in-frame on this truck, just schedule it. Schedule it where you're going to take a week off anyway and, you know, go on vacation and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. That seems like probably a better option. But other than that, on the flatbed side, the rakes are great. When you catch a spot rate, you know, something that's got to move.
Right. And, you know, that brings up a good point. You know, I'm saying that rates really aren't moving a whole lot. And on the spot market overall, they're not. But what you'll find is when demand starts to climb like this and somebody really needs a load to move, that's when you're going to have a lot of opportunity to negotiate a much better rate. Let's go to North Dakota. Lance, welcome to the program. Lance, are you with me?
Huh.
Sounds like something's there. Lance? Let's see. All right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put you back on hold. Maybe we'll try to come back to that again. Oh, well, looks like he's on another line. Let's try this one. Lance, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey,
you know, a lot of people might not realize that T. Boone Pickens, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, her husband is financially invested in his company.
Oh, well, isn't that cozy?
Yeah, a lot of people might not realize that, but they can go Google it real quick and find out about that.
I didn't realize it.
Oh, yeah. Something a lot of people should know, and I don't think she should be able to vote on anything for that.
No, that's definitely a conflict of interest.
Right. When I was at the show this week, I talked to some of the recruiters because I was trying to talk to them and get info from them, and I was kind of surprised to hear a lot of the different recruiters for fleets saying they got caught with their pants down, freight picked up so fast they don't have the drivers or the trucks to pick it up.
Oh, I'll bet. You know, I saw, I don't know, a week or two ago that on some survey that recruiting budgets are way back up again. You know, for a while, companies had like zero recruiting budgets. One, because they weren't making any money. They had to cut budgets anywhere they could. And two, they really didn't need to recruit. But I think that's going to change. The other thing I've been saying for a while now is, you know, used truck prices are in the dumps, and I don't see them coming out anytime soon. But I could be wrong on that based on what I'm seeing now. International just came out with a program. I think they've been listening to my show. They just came out with a program where they're going to recondition older trucks. They're going to completely go through the whole truck, which is what we've been talking about on the show for months now, and they're going to offer this special program. So if that trend catches on, and even some of the smaller, I don't see the big fleets doing a lot of that. They might, I don't know. But if we see the smaller, medium-sized fleets doing that, it'll put pressure on the used truck market pretty quick.
Well, Freightliner did that years ago when all the FLDs were coming out on the market. They were bringing them, refinishing them, new paint, going through everything, and other ones they were actually turning sleeper trucks into day cabs just to get them out there. So you
might
see International doing that as well. But on a side note, at the show, one of the companies was selling a book. It's about 5/8 of an inch thick. It was all about CSA 2010. I meant to pick it up, and I didn't. And then today I was talking to our safety guy. Now, mind you, I'm with a company that has a fleet of only 22 semis, and I was told today we're going to electronic logs. So if a fleet of 22 semis with a stellar safety record is going to electronic logs because they're just worried about 2010, I think you're going to see it going on more.
Yeah, that's a good point. We could. I still, you know, after reading the whole thing and I've attended some webinars online from a couple different groups, I still think that for the majority of drivers and owner-operators, it's a non-issue.
Right. Well, I do as well. I think it's – I like the idea of that book that had a point in there, you know, what everything is, who's responsible for what. Because right now there's so much what do you call it, road trash. You know, everyone's saying this and that, whatever, because no one seems to really know.
Who is offering the book? Did you happen to get a company name? I'd actually like to get it.
J.J. Keller.
Oh, it is J.J. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I'll check that out.
They're pretty good when it comes to that type of stuff. But
yeah.
That was all I had for you guys. I hope you guys had fun at the show. I'm still recovering. I'm just getting my voice back today.
I was going to say, before I let you go, how was the show for you guys?
For us, I thought it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. We had a lot of interest, a lot more than I thought. By the time the show was done, other people that were around us, around our booth, they signed on. They want to be next to us at mats. You know, they got to pay for our thing because we draw that gas. I'm sorry, gas, because we draw so much attention. It was good for their booth.
Excellent. Excellent. Good to hear that.
All right.
All right. Good talking to you.
I was going to say, thanks to you guys stopping by. I wish I could have gave you more time, but we were busy.
Oh, I know. It was like that the whole show, no matter where we went. Hey, if you want to jump in, there are some lines open. Press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will get to your call. Some open lines. So if you want to jump in, a question, a comment, whatever you've got, tonight is your night. We can talk about whatever you want. I'm going to get to some calls. I might do a show update if we get some time. If you want to jump in, go ahead and press 1, and we'll get right to you. Let's go to Michigan. Carl, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, can you hear me?
Yep, you sound good. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Calling about the CSA 2010, I am one of those guys who may be affected by that. I ran across some bad happenings last October. Got body slammed, and I just wanted to find out, you know, what maybe you would know about the extent of my problems or where I might go to find out ahead of time about this. It's hard for me to say it, but I'm going to have to say it anyway. In a course of 3 weeks, I got 3 separate out-of-service violations. That's really my big thing that I have to try to live down with the CSA 2010, and you know, there's a few other items as well, but, you know, I've been driving for about 15 years, and, you know, no accidents, no, I got one ticket, one moving violation for 1 mile over the speed limit, you know, but this 3 week period, bam, bam, bam. My last out of service violation, I was bobtailing back after I'd quit my job. I had left my logbook at McDonald's, and I got caught at the scale without a logbook. I'm bobtailing back, no job, and I get another out-of-service violation. So what would you do to learn more about that and learn where I stand?
Well, that book that he just mentioned from J.J. Keller is probably a great resource. I know Keller is really good at putting that kind of stuff together and making it easier to understand. Now, when I did the research, I did most of mine on the CSA 2010 website directly, and it's typical government stuff. I mean, it took me a lot longer than it should have, just because it's the government. It's like when I try to read an IRS regulation, it takes me 4 or 5 hours to read something that once I get it, I can explain in 20 minutes. So I'm going to grab this book from Keller because I have a feeling that's going to be a really good resource for this.
Is it to the point where more than just understanding the whole program, where a guy like myself can go in there and say, oh, I got this, and figure out like what my score would be or whatever? You know?
Yeah, you should be able to do that. And again, like I say, it wasn't. If you go to the website, you're going to have a tough time doing that. I'll get this book, and then I'll report back on, you know, I'm trying to look right now. I see it online. I'm trying to find a price. I don't really see a price on it yet. But, maybe Lisa will look it up while we're doing this. But I will try to get a hold of this book and report back on whether or not, you know, this will help you do that. So now I guess the big question is, you've got 3 violations, and you are not working anywhere?
No, I'm actually, I was at Mass, handed out some resumes, and I got talking to at least one company. Could be talking to many more if I wanted to, I guess, but I'm trying to give them all this information ahead of time so that they don't hire me and then fire me in 6 months.
They
don't even want to hear it. They're the best. You know,
yeah, that's the best way to go. Have you pulled a DAC report yet?
Yeah, I don't see any on the DAC.
Okay. I was going to say I would definitely do that. I would pull a DAC report and see, you know, because that's what a lot of carriers are still looking at.
Yeah, that was the thing. They seem to be interested in the traditional things that, accidents, tickets, work history. But this is a whole new wrench now. You know, because I like to get my CDL about 15 years ago, and I think I had a out of service my first year. I'm saying this because some of these consumers say, well, what an idiot, 3 in 3 weeks. Well, you know, it just happened, man, because they're like
I know.
For the first year, I think I got one. I haven't had one for like 15 years. And then just, like I said, bobtailing back to the house, man. It's just like, bam, just everything, you know.
Yeah.
So now I find myself in jeopardy, whereas on the traditional scores, you know, I had some job hopping there earlier on. But that was my big hit there, was a little bit of job hopping. The traditional things, measures, I was fine to work in those places, you know.
Well, you know, I know it's always tough when you're facing this, but if anything, at least your timing is good. If this were going to happen, had this happened to you a year ago, I think that a year ago would have been worse than now. Even though CSA 2010 is kicking in, so is the economy, and carriers are already starting to sound desperate. I think they're all worried about having enough capacity, and, you know, we're seeing owner-operators leave the market. So I think what will happen is that, if anything, you're in good shape because carriers are going to go back to recruiting, and they're not going to be nearly as tough as they've been in the last year, where they were turning down almost everybody.
Well, that was my concern, because these recruiters kind of seem to want to get on with the traditional items without really looking at the CSA 2010 too much. But I heard one of the tanker companies had already let go of some guys based on CSA 2010 criteria, you know. And this is coming. We're headed straight toward it, and there's no getting around it. And so my concern is that the carrier may not be looking at it right now, but, you know, 6 months from now, they could tap me on the shoulder and say, you know, hey, it's been fun, but, you know.
Yeah, and that's always possible, and I think that, you know, we could speculate about that all day, because nobody knows. One of the reasons why the recruiters aren't really looking at it is because they don't understand it either. Carriers still don't understand it. I can't find anywhere in there that's really clear about what these points are going to do to an owner-operator. I mean, I found a little bit about what they'll do to a fleet, but there doesn't seem to be any real clear criteria that says, you know, if you've got this, then this. I mean, there's a point system, but I don't even really understand what the point system is going to do, because I don't see any guidelines. So what I would say is that I would do your homework really carefully. I would choose a carrier carefully, and then I would work hard just to build a really good relationship with them. And, you know, I think you'll be okay, and I think you'll work your way out of this.
Really? Because, typically the first year, everything counts like 3 times. And then after the first year, you 3 times as many points for the first year, then it drops off. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Before this really catches on and everybody starts to understand it and figure out their systems, get with a carrier, you know, build that relationship, and, you know, by the time this all works itself out, your points won't be as high as they were or as they are right now.
Right. Well, maybe that's the case. Yeah, I just don't have a feel for it. Is this really happening, or is somebody going to put the brakes on here at the last minute?
No, it's happening. I mean, it's definitely happening, but nobody really knows, you know, what's happening. I mean, we can read all the regulations, but you talk to carriers, talk to safety people in the carriers, and they're still kind of looking at it going, we're not really sure what this means yet.
Yeah. Well, I guess if they tap me on the shoulder in 6 months, you know, that's 6 months worth of work, hey, I saw you at Matt's, by the way. There's like a whole Kevin Rutherford row up there.
Yeah, we had we've been building on that concept of kind of surrounding ourselves with the trucks and the vendors, and, you know, get everybody all in one place.
Yeah, that's pretty good thing you had going on there. I didn't say anything to you because you looked like you had plenty of people to talk to as it was, so I'll let you go. But had a good time over there.
Good.
That's
good.
What I had to ask about, Kevin.
Okay. Say that again.
That was the only thing I had to ask you about.
Okay. Good. I appreciate it. If you've got a question, there's some lines available. Go ahead and press 1 on your phone. Lisa will get right to you. The show, you know, like I said, I wish I could have talked to more people, but there were literally times where we probably had, you know, 10 people kind of standing around waiting. And I feel bad when people are waiting, but, you know, I also feel bad if I rush everybody through. Everybody had a question, and I wish I could talk to more people. It was a great show. We had all of our vendors around us. We had the 3 concept trucks there, which was a little different this year. I think I tried to explain the difference between building the concept trucks this year instead of a signature truck, because we're working on some new ideas that haven't really been proven yet, and that's why they're still concepts. And I think that within the next 3 to 4 months, we may have some of those concepts proven, and we may build a new signature truck with some new ideas in it. Not 100% sure on that yet, but I'll certainly keep you updated on that. Let's get to some more calls. Let's try Robert in Texas this time. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kevin. Hey, I'm calling. I got like 2 questions, and they're actually for a friend of mine up there in St. Cloud, Minnesota. His name's Bob Friedel. Little shy, doesn't want to call you and ask you these questions himself, so I thought I'd do it for you. He's got,
okay.
First question, he's got 22.5, not the low pros, but the regular tall ones. And he was thinking about putting the 24 on their tall, and he's thinking that's going to give him better fuel mileage. I think it'll be worse for fuel mileage. I thought I'd get your opinion for him.
It'll definitely be worse. My guess is he feels like his RPMs are too high and he wants to drop them some.
Right. I keep telling him it's going to hurt him, but, you know, I thought I would ask you for him, like I said. And
now,
the other thing... Oh, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, I never recommend 24 talls. I mean, and if he goes for, and I certainly wouldn't recommend going from a 22 tall to a 24 low, because we have all the rim cost and the time and the labor, and we don't change anything. I mean, they're almost identical sized tires. I mean, he has 2 options that are much, much better than switching to a 24 tall. I would absolutely say don't do that. He can either slow down to get his RPMs down, which is the cheapest way and the biggest return on fuel mileage, or if it's really that bad, he could re-gear the truck.
Right. He does go slow, although up there in St. Cloud, he runs the Twin Cities, and he doesn't like to go slow on the highway. He picks it up to about 68. You know, he tries to go 57 most of the time, but he doesn't want to impede traffic.
Now, you know, I don't get the whole impeding traffic thing. I really don't. I drove, you know, at least half, maybe even more, of my million miles under 60 miles an hour, and I don't ever remember impeding anybody. And if I did, tough.
Oh, I agree with you. I do the same thing. I go everywhere at 55, but that's him. And the other thing was I wanted to ask you about for him was the bug deflector. He's got one of those on the hood of his Century Class truck. And I think I saw you in a video saying one time that that was not a good idea. Was I correct?
You are definitely correct. And there was a story behind this. And I was doing seminars. This would have been in the mid-90s or so. And I was just learning about truck specs and doing some seminars about it. And I had just bought and spec'd a new Volvo. And I thought, you know, I knew everything. And obviously I didn't, and I know now that I never will. But I was doing a seminar, and Volvo was a sponsor, and I just bought a new Volvo, and they had some of their people kind of on a panel with me. They had an engine guy, and they had an engineer and some other people, and I was showing a picture of how aerodynamic my truck was and the specs. And, you know, the engineer raised his hand, and he said, "Do you mind if I jump in?" And I said, "No, why?" And he said, "You know," he says, "we spend tens of millions of dollars testing aerodynamics and designing trucks to be as aerodynamic as we can. And he said, you spent $60 to screw it all up. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, that bug deflector, and he kind of showed me what happens to the airflow. You know, they've designed the airflow to come up over the hood, nice and smooth, transition to the windshield, off the windshield, up off the deflector and around the trailer. And then we take this bug shield and we break up that whole flow to try to get the air off the windshield. And sure enough, and I was tracking my fuel mileage, I went back, took it off, and saw a 0.3 mile increase immediately.
Wow, that's great. I'm glad you answered those questions. And the other thing is a thank you to you for posting that thing for Pittsburgh Power to get the chrome back there. I was the guy that took the chrome back to the truck. And,
oh, fantastic.
And I just got the manifold the other day, so I appreciate it.
Excellent. You're going to love that.
Oh, I will. So thanks a lot. Have a good show.
Thanks. Good talking to you. Yeah, that's worked out well a couple times now. We needed to get some things moved around to get those trucks done, and Pittsburgh Power made some pretty good offers, move a little freight around, and I know somebody got a power box, and he got a manifold, so that all worked out really well. Let's go to Louisiana this time. John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
I got a fuel problem and a quick tire question for you. My tire question is I have 726 ELs.
Okay.
And I am due for new tires. Actually, I have 725, the old 725s on here. I have 726 ELs. I've already purchased them. I haven't mounted or balanced anything yet. But I've been looking in the XDA Energy Series.
Okay.
And I know the rolling resistance on the 726 ELs, I think, is 131.
141. Yeah.
Now, I've already purchased those tires. Is it beneficial to me to go out and spend the other money to get the XDA Energies with already having purchased those 726 ELs?
I think so, but it always comes down to numbers. And here's the way I would approach this. The first thing I would do, have you ever been to the calculator on Michelin site?
Yes. Yeah, I've used it quite a bit, so...
Okay. I would run the calculator to see what the savings are going to be in a year. And then let's approach this as a year long rather than, you know, over the life of the tire. And see if we can see a return in a year. And the way we would do it is just see what the fuel difference is going to be in the next 12 months. And then compare that against what you're going to lose or what it's going to cost you to trade these in. So you're going to have to go to a tire dealer and say, look, I've got these brand new tires. They haven't even been mounted yet. You know, what will you give me on a trade-in? And figure out your net cost for the trade. And as long as I could get that money back in 12 months, I would do this. Because my guess is, that tires probably last you at least 2 years.
Yeah. The original tires on here has lasted us 250,000. So
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. So this is really a 2 year, you know, numbers problem. But let's look to see if we can get it back in a year. And if we can, then I would do this because then we've got a year of profit.
Okay, so do it in a 12-month span time is when the optimal amount of money being made or lost.
Yep, absolutely. As long as I could, let's say you go to the calculator and the calculator says, well, this is going to save you $1,600 in fuel cost.
Okay.
As long as the price wasn't any more than $1,600 to switch, I'd be all over it.
Okay. Okay, so I'll take a look at that, because I think the XDA Energy rolling resistance is 101, is that right, or is it 99?
99. So 99. I think you're going to see that there's definitely a payback in a year on this.
So trying to trade in those other tires that we purchased to see if we can get the money back. Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. My other fuel question is, I don't know if you've ever heard of this. We keep on having a white fibrous material in our fuel tanks. We've had the fuel lines replaced at least 4 times. We've had the tanks drained. We've pulled it out, and we sit there and we look at it, and you break it apart, and it's almost like white cottonous material. It's the weirdest thing, and it seems to clog up our fuel lines. And every time we put the truck on an angle, drain all the fuel out, pull this material out of the fuel tanks, we'll be fine for, I don't know, 3-4 months. Next thing I know, it's back in there again. Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't. Not exactly. And a couple things came to mind as you're saying this, and one of them's going to sound weird, but the first thing I would do is look at every component in the fuel system, whether you've got, and every truck might be a little different as far as which fuel filters it's got, secondary filters, fuel pro systems, anything that is attached to this fuel system, I would be looking to see if something is deteriorating somewhere and ending up back there.
From the fuel filter itself.
Yeah, possibly.
Okay.
But here's the other thing that I would look at, and the reason this probably came to mind for me is because it happened to me. And the quickest way to – and I just saw a product that would be great for this. I actually had somebody who was sabotaging my trucks over time, and it took me quite a while to figure it out. And I didn't really figure it out until they got – so aggressive about it that it literally was shutting my trucks down within, 100 miles. They were putting paper towels in the fuel tank.
It almost looks like.
Yeah, see, I had somebody that I took a contract away from. I just went in with a better service. Well, I didn't even beat them on price. I beat them on service. And my trucks were parked there every weekend, because we pulled loads out of there first thing Monday morning, and they were going in and putting paper towels in the fuel tank.
But we have locking gas caps, but I know there's always ways around that. But
well, I was going to recommend that you get locking fuel caps, but if you've already got them, it's got to be pretty tough then. So that may not be what's going on.
I wonder if it's a fuel filter. It's a Fleetguard fuel filter, and I wonder if it's that filter breaking down.
Yeah, there are some, depending on how the fuel system works, it's possible that it can actually come back into the tank. It's not that common. But those are the two things that come to mind, is either filters or something in the system or sabotage. So I would look into that because, what happened mine over time, it was causing problems. We couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And then finally, they put so much in the tank that the truck literally just shut down. I mean, it wouldn't run, and we had to tear the fuel system apart, and it was just a nightmare, but it turned out to be somebody actually putting it in the tank. All right, let's see. We are running out of time. Let me get to a couple more calls in here. Let's go to Missouri this time. Maggie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey there.
I didn't get to go to Matt, so I get to go to your house.
I see that. You're going to be here in a couple days, huh?
Exactly. I can't wait.
I didn't realize this, but Lisa just told me you've never been to the ocean.
Never. I've seen them all. I've never been on the beach.
Wow. Well, you're in for a treat then.
I think it's going to be great.
It is.
Hey, I hired a new driver last week, and he was complaining that he had been to a couple of big companies, and they were complaining, when you fill out your online application and stuff, and this guy has just an impeccable record. I mean, he drives 55, he listens to you, drives me crazy, but other than that, just an all-around wonderful guy, perfect record, and he said that they wanted to meet him in person, And if you meet him, you know, he's a big kind of heavy guy. And they told him that they were trying to gear down for this sleep apnea thing and wouldn't hire him.
Wow.
Now, if, couldn't a person, if you wanted to, couldn't you claim the hillbilly act and say, you know, I might be inbred and just look like a frog?
Well, you can claim anything you want, but, you know, I think we're going to see more of this. You know,
that's
when
profiling, though. I mean, that's just terrible.
Well, see, you're allowed to profile for things like that. You know, you're not allowed to profile for racial or, but, you know, and, you know, whether it is really profiling or not, you know as well as I do, we can turn somebody down and never even give a reason.
That's true.
So,
you know, I can just say, oh, interns didn't take you, but still, well, are the bigger companies really cracking down and not going to hire if you're overweight?
I hadn't heard that yet. I mean, I've been waiting to see if that really happens. And, you know, and this is tough because when you look at what it could possibly cost an employer, and now when we start talking about mandatory health insurance because the new health care bill just passed.
Yeah, don't get me started.
I know. But it's, you know, when the government starts to put all of these requirements on an employer, then the employers have to be more careful about who they hire. I say, the only thing I should be responsible for as an employer is paying you for the work you do. That's
yes.
it. I shouldn't be responsible for your Social Security or your Medicare or half of your health insurance or any of those things. I should pay you for the work you do, and if that were the case, then I would just be able to hire the best person for the job.
Exactly.
But because the government gets their hands in everything, now we have to start worrying about stuff like this.
It's
the people that they try to protect the most are the ones who get hurt the worst.
Yeah. So, you know, so fat people can't work now? They're all going to be on disability?
I don't know, because, you know, when you look at this industry, I agree. We have a lot of unhealthy drivers if you look at, you know, body mass index or weight to height ratios. But I've also seen those people put in 30 years and never miss a day and get the job done. So why don't we just look at their record instead?
I had a driver who weighed 400 pounds. And he could climb up in the trailer and he would, you know, and he was also a soccer coach. And you would never think he weighed 400 pounds, but I mean, he was a big guy. And then I thought, holy cow, you know, he's not going to be able to get a job somewhere else one of these days, you know. And then, you know, I don't go around looking at people's necks and all that kind of stuff and, you know, checking them for body mass index. But I thought, you know, if the guy can do the job and he does a great job, then I can hire him. But, you know, if the government's going to force me to have health care, I can't afford, you know, $600 a month just for one driver.
Well, here's what a big carrier has to be careful of. If they start doing this, you know, neck size, we have to do sleep apnea testing. If somebody has sleep apnea, we have to treat it. Well, now you have to worry about the whole Americans with Disability Act. And if this guy works for me, now I might have to supply him with sleep apnea treatments in the trucks, the CPAP machines. I might have to make sure that he has some way of running that machine, meaning my truck will have to idle all the time or will have to put a generator on it. And I think carriers are just going to stay away from that stuff by not hiring people.
Mm-hmm. Because you know how much that would cost me. You know, the ATUs are going to, you know, $10,000. And then it's, you know, added weight. So, you know, in my thing, I got to, you know, try to lighten up my trucks. So,
right.
You know, it's going to end up costing me a fortune. And then, you know, the sleep apnea machines, if I just go ahead and put them in the trucks and just say, use them when you need them.
And then they have to have a way to run them. So I wasn't aware that carriers were doing this yet, but that's interesting to hear.
Mm-hmm, they are. They're just starting. And I'm like, holy cow, I didn't realize that. And so, you know, I was thinking I'm kind of slipping somewhere because I haven't heard a whole lot about it.
Well, you know, the good news is that as small carriers, when we hire drivers, we have a lot more flexibility because if they do start mandating things, we normally don't have to comply with it. So I would say when find somebody with a record like that, I'd be snatching them up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, holy cow, you know, this guy, he's impeccable. And I thought, you know, what's, you know, a little fatness. He's all right. He works for me. But
yeah, no,
this government thing, is it supposed to be 30 employees or less? Is that what I heard right?
Well, the health insurance, I think, was 50.
Oh, so actually it's not going to affect me too bad.
Not
I'll
yet.
Just have to pay for it.
Yeah, not the way I'm reading it, but who knows? I'm still waiting to see what really comes out of this thing.
I'll be in the right tax bracket, and I'll have to pay my share plus yours.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we will see you in a couple days.
All righty, bye-bye.
All right, I'm going to try to squeeze in a couple quick ones here. Let's go to Arkansas. Dana, welcome to the program. Oop, let me make sure I've got it here. Let's try that. Dana, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, it's Dana. I kind of came in a little bit late, and I heard y'all talking about the CSA 2010, and I didn't hear you say whether you had gotten the article today that said that it had been postponed.
No, actually, I didn't. When did it get postponed till?
Today. Today it got postponed. The effective dates have been changed. The 9 states that are doing the testing are still testing, but it won't go into effect for the other 41 states until the spring or summer of 2011 now. However, that gives people a lot of time because, you know, I heard the guy talking about the 3 years and what that is. They do, you know, keep that in your records. But PSP is a big thing, and not that it's a part of CSA 2010, but they're going to pull the PSP is pre-employment screening, whatever, and they're going to be able to pull it, and it comes from the CSA 2010 records, and it's going to show your points there.
Right. Here's what I don't get about that, because I kept reading that, too, and they kept making this point that it was separate. Why was it separate? I mean, why don't we
You know, I am so not an industry professional. I've been corrected so many times when it concerns CSA 2010 because I try to say it how I read it, and everybody says, no, that's not right, Dana. But I do know for a fact that they have postponed it, so I can say that much. And PSP, basically, it's not a part of it, but it's starting at the same time pretty much. And everybody needs to be concerned about that. But just remember, they do not accept electronic signatures for that, and you have to sign for them to get it. And they can't check current employees. They can only check employees that they are considering hiring. And it will show 3 years' worth of all the points. But the point system is not really going to – it can't because of the way – it's not a law, but the way the rules are written – the points program cannot affect the drivers right now. It cannot. I'm sure they'll find a way to change it. They're going to have to do some rule changing, but it is not. You know, you could probably have 50, and the only way that anything is going to happen is if your company is too far off of the safety side and get warning letters, and then they start going through employee records at that point.
Yeah, that was kind of the way I understood it, too. And I appreciate the update. I had no idea they extended it. I'm not surprised. I mean, this is no different than CARB, and it's just kind of making me crazy that we spend all this time and effort and everybody's scrambling to change things, and businesses are spending money, and then the government says, oh, sorry, we lied. We're not. Will maybe sometime in the future. And it's like CARB, they keep extending. We're going to hear new dates from them again. It's just unbelievable how much government can screw with the industry and how much it's costing us all. I'm just kind of crazy about the whole thing. All you can really do anymore is focus on your own business, keep your bottom line as tight as you possibly can, do the best you can, keeping your record clean, and let's wait and see what happens. Want to thank everybody for joining me. We are all out of time tonight. check out the website. I had a ton of stuff I didn't get to tonight. I'll try to cover it on Friday night. Trends in technology. I'm testing a hydrogen system. I've got some results on that that I didn't get to. Some ideas on some new products we're looking at. The live show will be up in 30 minutes. Join me for that. Thanks, everybody, and good night. I'm Kevin Rutherford.